Hey there, it's July 25th, 2012, and this is The Horrible Show, the editorial video game podcast from HorribleNight.com. I'm your host, Justin Lacey. Joining me this evening is Josh Lee.
Oh! Hey!
Hacksaw Jim Duggan goes to the opera.
Yeah. That's exactly what's going through my head!
What do I win?
Tickets to go see Hacksaw Jim Duggan to the opera!
And also...
For two.
Ethan Moses.
Good evening.
Josh had a better intro. I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, I didn't know. What, you didn't tell me we had to do like good ones?
How do you listen to that and not naturally try to follow it up?
I was actually looking at those little miniatures over there. They look really cool.
What do you think that sounds like to people? Like, oh, you know, Josh Justin's a host. We got to deal with him. Mm. Josh sounds like an interesting person. Why the fuck is Ethan on the show?
Boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, ba, ooh, wah, ooh, wah. Welcome to the show. It's Ethan. Good to see you. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, ba, boom, 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 boom.
Yep.
Oh, man, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Was it?
Topped.
That was good. That was good.
I took a song and then I put
Now I'm the weak link in the show.
Yeah, dude.
If this was like the early 2000s, I could make a bad pun.
Mm.
Never mind. Tonight's show is about superhero video games. We're going to relive some of our favorites and then try to figure out where do we go from here? And it's a good question.
Left.
As soon as you said superheroes, I pictured Superman in my head. And then I tried to think of the theme song, which when I was a kid, I always would hum Star Wars instead.
Mm.
But now I have the Jurassic Park theme in my head because Ethan was just humming that right before the show.
Yeah.
He's pretty good at that.
Yeah.
We can't get away with that for copyright reasons.
Man, he would straight up kick some dinosaur ass. But he wouldn't have to. He'd be friends with him because he could play with Tyrannosaurus Rex. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I do this all the time. Sorry about those tangents.
We'll let you know when Ethan's album's...
It's coming soon.
It's got a lot of contract negotiations, but I think it's making progress.
That's parody. I think you can get away with that.
I think I can too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it on YouTube. See if they take it down.
Mm.
Before we get to the superheroes, we kick every show off with game industry shout outs. Then we move on to HorribleNight.com shout outs. Then our on the spot question, our topic of the night, superhero video games, and wrap up the show with HorribleNight.com updates.
That's five topics. That's a lot of content.
We can make it happen.
Is this free?
It is free. It's
wow. Jesus.
Free premium content. Wow. Or awesome content. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's from awesome.
Free content.
That doesn't sound good. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know. Free content's great.
Game industry shout-outs. Josh Lee, you're going to kick us off. Go.
Oh, man. I got to, you know, big ups to the dudes and dudettes at the Build Your Own Arcade Controls Forum, which is forum.arcadecontrols.com. I, once again, like I do every summer, look at building something to do with an arcade cabinet or arcade controls. And I never follow through, but this time I'm aiming a little smaller, and their forums are the place to go if you're doing anything arcade related, like if you're trying to build something yourself. Tons of people like throwing up pictures of their works in progress from like everything from start to finish. Throw their plans up. You can download their plans, their measurements, all that stuff. It's really neat. Tell you where the source parts. I am looking at modding an existing controller that I have, my little Mad Cat Street Fighter 4 arcade stick, which I already have custom buttons and stick in. I'm looking to mod it to work as a pinball controller.
What?
So I was looking at like what kind of buttons do I want? Like how do I wire that up? Like how do I get a real plunger on this thing?
Shit.
And people do it. Like people are doing it. I don't think this box is big enough to do the actual like the plunger. However, I'm thinking I'm just gonna drill some holes in the sides of this thing and just like wire up extra trigger buttons on the sides. So left and right trigger on the sides of this thing, and I can just slap those suckers. And then if I want to, you know, just do the plunger, I'll just use the...
Why wouldn't you just build a pinball specific, peripheral?
You know what? There are a ton of plans for that. Not a ton. There are some people that have done that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really very good at woodworking. Slept through shop, so...
So you said you're saying you're better at taking something that already has got some space constraints and adding more to it?
I'm better at cutting a hole in something that has already been machined into a large cubicle, rectangular-shaped thing,
yeah.
box.
Okay. It's a very specific.
I'm not
skill
making
set.
A box. I don't do that.
I did soapbox derby, so maybe we could tag team on this.
Well, if you know what, if someone would make me the box, then I could do everything else and wire it.
I'll make a box. Like,
could you build something where I can throw him down a hill?
That's what. Yeah, that's what soapbox well, yeah. was. That's what my dad always did.
Well, let's just put like casters.
Never succeeded.
Or, let's put like wheels on a couch.
You're still alive.
And just
that's
shove
not
him
supposed
down
to kill me. That's not. Oh, I got it. God.
Jeez.
Mine was shaped like a coffin too. Supposed to freak out the other competitors. I never soapbox derby. It's not the 1960s. I wish. I should. Oh, that's a really good idea, man. I wish I could
go back
in time.
Was taken.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, man. You can
dress up as Paul Bearer going down.
If I crash at the very end, I'll rise up really slowly.
He's going too fast. Someone hit the brakes.
What was the name of that website again?
It's forum.arcadecontrols.com. It's actually called the Build Your Own Arcade Controller.
I just like that you were describing like building a pinball game controller, and I'm like, nothing is coming to my mind, but just literally attaching a plunger to an existing device, I can get behind that.
You know, you could probably just stick one onto a Xbox controller or something. No, I saw a guy made a box that was
also
way
doubles
too...
in a pogo stick.
So there was one of them that I saw that the guy had built completely from scratch that looked like I could do it because it kind of a little bit shoddy on the woodworking. So, but he had like, it was way too big, I think, to put on your lap. I mean, it was really pretty gigantic. And, but he had the plunger, like a real pinball plunger. And on the inside, he had a sliding potentiometer, which I didn't even know existed. And he had this like piece of metal that he like bolted on and it was pulling on this thing. It was like so complicated just to make that thing work. But there's got to be easier way to do it. But it was wired to a 360 controller. I mean, I'm talking about playing Pinball FX2 with this thing.
Can I ask a stupid question?
The Pinball Arcade.
What is it? Potentiometer?
It's a thing that is going to measure like normally it's just a knob, like in a knob.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing is a slide, so it's going to just measure between like zero and like you know 100 like percent basically. So it's like here's all the way to the left, here's all the way to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And with a plunger attached to it, the slide thing with a spring, when you pull the plunger back, it's gonna be at zero and then it's gonna pull all the way back to however full power or somewhere in the middle, and you let go, the spring pulls it back to zero again, and it registers as like, you know, like you would an analog stick, you know, if you're from dead center to all the way down. It's basically mimicking that, except, you know, it's kind of hard. Like if you play any of those pinball games with an analog stick for the plunger, it can be kind of difficult because it's a really short throw. You're only getting like half of the total throw of the analog stick.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's kind of hard to get your skill shots with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm okay. I actually get the skill shot every time, except it's like I have to kind of play with it a little bit before I.
You want a convenient skill shot. That's what you're trying to
get. I do. Okay. I wish I could get it every time.
You've become a pinball like whiz in like the last, like, what? When's
I'm playing so much. I'm playing so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just put up the Game Curious video for Pinball FX2, but you also mentioned Pinball Arcade.
Yeah, I've been playing that too.
Is that the PC then?
That's on like a bunch of stuff. I played it on 360.
Okay.
But they've got licensed tables from Williams and Bally and Midway, I think. And
so the Pinball Arcade's more of the licensed stuff.
Yeah.
Pinball FX2 is the more like fantastical
actually,
new
like,
tables.
Yeah, which I'd rather just play Pinball FX2. But they have right now on Pinball Arcade, they're going to have more tables available, but like, just from the trial version, you can play, you know, like 20 minutes or something of Tales of the Arabian Nights and Black Knight, which are two of my favorite tables. So,
yeah, historically,
like,
they're supposed to be pretty good too.
They're really fun. And what's the magic one? It's like magician style magic,
like genies.
No. There's like you know, like stage magic kind of thing. I can't remember the name of the table. It's super famous. Whatever. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. And I think like both that and the Arabian Nights one have a spinning thing in the middle. Like one's a lamp and the other's like the magic box thing. And when you hit them, they spin. I like the spinners.
Cool. You know,
and one of them's got a magnet holder thing, which I didn't know was actually a real thing. I guess I never saw that on a table. I haven't seen a ton of real tables.
See, this kind of makes me sad. I actually had a pinball machine in college. It was Ace's Flying Aces pinball machine, real old. And
this is a real thing, full size.
Yeah, we brought it up, like, and people love coming to our apartment and playing that pinball machine.
Awesome.
It broke within a week of me bringing up that. Like, you know, like, drunk people playing pinball isn't good. I mean, that thing wouldn't work, you know. And this one kid was like, oh, look, I could tilt it every time. I wanted to punch him. Like, I really did. Like, he was a nice guy, but I wanted to punch him. And then someone stole it, so.
Huh. What? How do you steal?
Because I took it apart.
It was broken.
And I couldn't drive things home. I took it apart. I was going to see if I could figure it out or have someone fix it. And yeah. They had it in their back seat. They just left with it, and we never heard from them again.
What?
So, yeah, it sucks.
So you know who stole it, then. It's not even like a random hit.
Yeah, and it's almost like it's been so long, I don't know if I should approach him. Like, hey, remember that time you stole that pinball machine from me?
Well, you still know the guy?
I don't know them personally, but they are Facebook
acquaintances. They're
like around? And if you are listening to this, I want the pinball machine back. I know you've got it in your garage somewhere.
Get it back!
You know who you are. Well, could you help me?
What, like, beat the guy up?
Well, I need
or break into his house?
I kind of feel like I need a pinball ace to steal back a pinball machine.
Arcadegoons.com.
Well, I'm not an ace, but I'll know when I see it in the corner of the garage.
There's probably a business plan for that. Arcadegoons.com.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Anybody out there that wants to help me? Thanks.
It doesn't take...
Pinballsteelbacks.com.
It only takes a certain level of goon to be able to, like, intimidate, you know, arcade game owners.
So yeah, that's true.
He also owes me $5 for a tiny little thing of Barton's gin. So I won the pinball machine and then the Barton's. $5. Yeah, you owe me.
Is that is that somewhere around the level of McCormick's?
I think it's less. Actually,
oh,
it's
wow.
Yeah,
ooh.
It's, yeah, the black label, ooh, which is not good.
My shout out kind of draws more attention to Randy Pitchford. Gearbox's kind of mouthpiece. I actually really enjoy most of the time that Randy steps out and touts his games, and actually really enjoyed it when he was trying to build up Duke Nukem Forever, because it all seemed kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know, that, mm-hmm, you know, we kind of know Duke Nukem Forever is going to have some issues. Well, you know, it's been a while since that game's been released, so you kind of think, you know, nobody really has anything more to say about Duke Nukem Forever, but Randy Pitchford went ahead and compared Duke Nukem Forever, saying that it was pretty much exactly like Half-Life 2.
Mm.
What? Why? What was the context here?
The context was just kind of structurally, as far as, like, you get to an area and you kind of have to solve a puzzle before moving on, and then you get to the next area and you have to, like, shoot the guys before you can move on.
Yeah.
And, but just, it struck me as odd that here we are still talking about he's bringing up Duke Nukem Forever. Like, people are ready to kind of give Gearbox a pass for the game. Just,
yeah,
you guys just, you know, you just helped it get out in the open, and historically that was kind of cool.
You know what's got a menu in it? Half-Life 2. You know what else has a menu? Duke Nukem Forever.
Oh, wait. Male protagonist.
Oh my god.
Aliens.
Crosshairs for your gun.
Half-Life 2 went into the future and copied Duke Nukem Forever, and then
It's like the same game.
It is the exact same game. I don't even know why you would want to play. Why do we even want to wait for Half-Life 3? We basically have it in Duke Nukem Forever.
Gordon Freeman, goatee, Duke, flat top.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. One has a super suit, one has suspenders.
Same
thing. I mean,
same shit.
Suspenders are super suits in themselves. They keep your pants up and hold ammo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Gordon Freeman get the blowjob to start the game, too?
Yeah, he does. And he's always got those catchy one-liners, you know, throughout the whole game. He just won't stop talking, that Gordon Freeman. Fucking loudmouth. You know, doesn't Gearbox have, like, a really sweet game coming out here pretty soon?
Something you really want to talk about?
Like, you know, like, but like, one that's, like, you know, also a lot like Half-Life 2? I mean, exactly.
Well, I'm sure, wait. Alex Vance is in both games.
Oh, okay. Isn't she in that, like, that little, like squirty
She's
little
a dancer.
Dick-looking thing? Oh, she is, but isn't she also in that, like, you know, that goo? She's in that goo, isn't
she? Yeah,
she's
stuck in the goo.
She's hanging
out with you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, see, that was a cool cameo.
Yeah,
I thought it was
so.
A cameo, but I guess it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was just a different take on it's a Half-Life 2 reboot.
Yeah.
Is what Duke Nukem Forever
was. Holy shit.
What an idiot.
Glad he brought this to our attention.
Finally, all these things are connected, yeah. Yeah.
I was just like, why even bring it up again was my reaction, and, but
well, it makes the tongue in cheek stuff he was talking about before Duke Nukem Forever came out. Wasn't that he was being funny. He's a crazy person, and he really thinks it was a good game. You know what I mean? Like, looking back on it now, you know,
he's a little. I like Randy Pitchford a lot. Let me say that.
Me too.
But some about him is a little off.
Well,
he's just.
Well,
it's
this
a little
is the
off.
First time I was like. Oh.
No, it's always been like you're always thinking.
He's
like,
always had really good salesmanship, and then there's like, but then
mental slips. Yeah.
Just like starting to kind of believe your own.
It's not a stretch for me to picture him twisting the head off of a small bird.
No, yeah. That's like Sylvester Stallone as Expendables 2 is about to come out, going back and saying, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot is actually a really good movie.
I saw that in a theater. No fucking joke. No joke.
But I mean, but I think that's the best comparison you could possibly make.
Estelle Getty, hot.
Mm. She was intimidating too in that movie. Now, she had she had my gun.
Now there's a strong woman.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
She should be in a video. She should be a video game protagonist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The superhero maybe.
Yeah, why not?
Whatever.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to do. Why does she need superpowers? She's not good enough as is.
Mm. Sorry.
You got, yeah.
I didn't.
It's okay. Josh, fine.
Who's the, oh, it's a magic oven mitt. Jesus. Get out of here with that.
Ethan, what's your shout out?
I actually had, you know, something somewhat, I think, complimentary to say, but, every time that I talk about how much I like Fallout, the Fallout series, I hear about Wasteland, which was a game that came out when I was like 5. It was a text-based RPG, but it was set in a, you know, post-apocalyptic world and whatnot. And it's always linked to, you know, Fallout is, or that's supposed to be Fallout's unofficial prequel or whatever. So actually, Wasteland 2 is coming out. It has been announced. It's been kickstarted.
Kickstarter, right?
It's actually got $2,933,000 at this point. Its goal was $900,000, so that's cool. People are pretty excited about it. They actually released some screenshots today.
Oh.
And one of the big differences, I guess, between Wasteland 2 and then Wasteland is the fact that they're actually going to kind of embrace the new way of looking at the apocalypse, which is the nature taking over cities. So people are kind of like, there's kind of this, you know, like this kind of, oh, where's the desert at? Well, the desert's still there, everybody, but there's also some jungle and some plants and that kind of stuff. But screenshots look great. Like, it looks pretty cool. Like, I'm pretty interested. There's a gigantic scorpion, which, you know, that's what happens in the apocalypse is scorpions get huge, like gigantic. So we got to watch out for that. But I'm excited about this game. I'm really pumped up that this is one of those games that people have been talking about being remade or having a sequel to for like a really long time. And it's kind of cool to see that come to fruition because I never played Wasteland. Did you guys ever play that?
No, that was before my time.
Yeah, and that's even before your time, and you're much older than I am. You're like, what, 45, aren't you?
Shut up.
But yeah, so I'm kind of pumped up to see this. I always feel like kind of a gaming noob when people talk about this, but usually I get a pass because it was out like
the original 80s. Was like ASCII graphics,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It looked like NetHack or something,
yeah.
didn't it? Or something similar. Well, it had some actual pixels. But
I think it had pictures. I think it had like little. Oh, it had little yeah. pictures, and it had your text.
Was it text input?
I'm not going to say yes or no on that because I'm going to sound like
we know a lot about this subject.
Well, but it's one of those games that are talked about.
Yeah,
they're always talked about. Yeah. And you have an idea of what it is, but if someone
hence the Kickstarter success.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, and people are pumped up, so it's cool.
Like, it's like Daggerfall, and like
exactly,
everybody,
yeah,
and like,
exactly.
But, like you don't know anybody that's played it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
because we're not cool enough, I guess. Maybe,
well,
right?
Or you know,
right.
Yeah,
old part of it.
So, but yeah, it's cool to see the success of these, and it's kind of.
I really want to see these first batch of Kickstarter games come out. Like, I'm really curious to see how this all goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
why can't these post-apocalyptic games take place in like the suburbs of like Chicago? Like, why does it have to be, like, nuclear wasteland? Maybe that's not what killed everyone. And maybe everything's, like, in perfect condition.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not that far, like, after the shit happened.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just, like, moving into, like, people's houses. Everything looks fine. It looks hunky-dory. It looks like fucking Pleasantville. But you know, there's, like, oh, there's fresh dead bodies in all of these homes.
Okay, you know what?
I knew this. Desert of big cities, it seems.
Well, I knew it was going to come back to fresh dead bodies.
Yeah, but it was dilapidated. I don't want dilapidated. I want like a fresh paint job.
Okay, what about Last of Us?
I want grass that just kind of needs mowed.
Is Last of Us, is that close enough, or do you want even better?
I don't know. I haven't seen
enough of that. More pristine than Last of Us.
Yeah.
You want a very limited apocalypse, then.
You want kind of like a, you know,
light apocalypse.
You know, apocalypse light. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they drove a fuel truck, you know, into downtown. A few buildings caught on fire. People freaked out, probably too much, but everything still looks okay.
It was a virus that killed everyone except albinos.
Yeah, but that would be... Also, people just died and rotted away. It wasn't like a... Oh, okay. Yeah, the disease apocalypse would keep things looking better.
Right.
Smelling not good.
But it was like real fast. So, it was like, you just died.
Everyone just want a world that's less populated.
Yeah. I just want to be able to go in people's houses and be like, oh, what's in their fridge? Or like,
yeah.
Okay, how about
where's
you just
their,
want
what,
unlimited
where's
snacks.
The porn?
Be honest.
What yeah,
if,
yeah, dude.
What if they make...
Zebra cakes everywhere.
Mm. A Sims post-apocalyptic game.
You know what? Actually, that's really kind of genius.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good idea.
I mean, you'll still have
Justin's idea.
That, you know, Walking Dead thing going on of
like zombies?
Other people are assholes, kidding. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's a human element.
Yeah.
It's all about the human.
The human element.
But I want
shark element. That's what I want.
I just want stuff to just still be there and fine.
Okay, now I think Justin brought up a valid point. What happens if sharks grow legs and that is the apocalypse? That's a cause of the apocalypse.
That is a good apocalypse.
Maybe
so the sharks. Houses look good.
Maybe the sharks are the new people. Street sharks.
I'd watch that movie in 3D.
I would watch it in what's the next level up? 4D. What would that be? Smell? Is that smell?
That's
touch.
Time.
Is that time?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'd like that.
This so is Wasteland 2.
Street Sharks. Mm-hmm. Wasteland 2, yep. Street Sharks. Yep. No connection.
HorribleNight.com shout-outs where we give attention to the original material of HorribleNight.com. Ethan, we're going to go start with you.
Okay. Well, actually, we had some events that came up this past week. We had the viewing of the Tetris movie, Ecstasy of Order. And yes. It was very enjoyable. It was actually dealing with the... I guess Tetris is one of those classic games that never officially had a championship. People played it, and there were some really good players, but they didn't bring all these players together yet. So this game is kind of dealing with that. It's kind of dealing with like the new school of Tetris players, and then a few classic guys that actually competed in the Nintendo World Championships back in, what, 90? 90. Wow. So it was kind of cool to see that. I mean, it was definitely... it's a documentary, so you don't exactly get that underdog, you know, effect that maybe you desire, nor do you know, but it's cool. It was really, really interesting, and I think it's kind of nice to see these kind of movies because it does not seem like a subject that would be all that exciting, but they did a really great job with it. I mean, they really did a good job creating some really good characters, and the best thing about it is these characters actually exist in real life, like, as they appear in the movie. Like, we can go out and talk to these people. It'd be great. And I really want to play Tetris now. There's movie facets of the game. Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, there were facets of the game we didn't even realize people did. Like, you know, we just, the blocks are coming. Get those blocks where they should. I mean, did you guys actually have a strategy when you played this game? I saw blocks. I just freaked out. Tetris is me freaking out.
My strategy, I don't plan ahead too much. I'm just like, what's the most efficient way to jam this thing into a hole?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and like without leaving weird horizontal gaps, mm-hmm.
Just put everything together.
Yeah, it's like it's just so naturally like the part of my brain that let me put the square pegs in the square hole when I was a kid, mm-hmm. is playing Tetris, mm-hmm. which isn't going to be like championship caliber.
Yeah,
but I get the shit done. It was good enough to beat Justin's ass a couple weeks ago.
Wow. Tetris Splash isn't really the best for Tetris.
You know what?
It was the controller.
I didn't realize there were actually like different versions. I mean, to me, it's just Tetris.
Oh my!
There's
we went through that one of the Wikipedia pages on Tetris for our show the other week, and holy shit!
Yeah,
there's quite a number of them. But
yeah,
so this was a part of the Indie Film Fest here in Indianapolis, and we sponsored two showings at the time of this recording. Ethan and I have both seen the movie, and I actually saw kind of the screener before we decided to sponsor the movie, and was curious to see what the audience reaction would be. But I had a lot of fun in the theater because mm-hmm. people were actually getting excited and reacting to the mistakes and the successes that they see on screen in the game.
Yeah.
Like, they really... That was the most interesting part. Like, mm-hmm. aside from the story's interesting, the characters are interesting... but just like literally when someone messes up and the whole crowd goes, and gets into it, by the time the competition kind of rolls around in that film, everybody's pretty excited.
Well, I thought edge of my seat was just like a metaphor, but it's actually a real thing that happens to you if you're excited. Like like the whole time, like I was like, oh man, like I had my Tetris player. I don't want to spoil anything and they didn't win. Okay. And I was a little bit like,
yeah,
you know, you're a little bit sad. pulled out a lot of emotions I didn't even realize I had. One of them was sad.
I knew you had them.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you see me for who I am.
The funny thing is, we've had a lot of debates about some of the video game documentaries that have come out before this, and we've kind of, some of us have taken issue with the documentaries kind of playing up the story or like over-dramatizing the story or playing up the villains or just really painting these people in corners. And XTC Order does a good job of just introducing you to all these Tetris experts, and they kind of have their own quirks, but they don't really play up anyone over anyone else. Mm-mm. And they also don't dig heavy into any sob stories, or they're just, these people are gathered together to come to this tournament, and they've all been playing Tetris for 10, 20 years at this point, and it makes them interesting.
Well, it's and I mean, you say about the sob stories, they literally have a point where they're about to introduce a sob story, and they just, it's like a minute, and they move on. Like, and it's like, okay, maybe there's some impact you can pull from that, but, you know, it wasn't a movie that was just B-roll and emotion.
Yeah.
Which is good. As a gamer, as somebody who's interested in this kind of stuff, and as someone who wants to represent gaming to someone that may not be a gamer, I think this is kind of what you want to see. Is these people are quirky, but they're not like super weirdos, you know what I mean?
Well,
they're
have you seen Chasing Ghosts? Like, compare it to that.
I have not seen that, but I've seen King of Kong.
We need to watch that.
Well, okay. Yeah, some of the same dudes, but okay, damn it.
Yeah,
we can have a conversation about that.
We will.
Well, go watch that and then come back.
No, yeah, I need to.
So, Ecstasy of Order comes out on DVD and digital download and all that stuff August 21st. And you can find out more information at ecstasyoforder.com. Josh, what's your horrible shout out?
I want to give a shout out to Justin, your and other Justin Gifford's charity challenge. The gaming your asses off.
Our asses off.
Well, it's your asses. It sounds weird if I say, because it's not my ass. It's gaming it. I'm not gaming it off.
Okay.
You want to?
Gaming our asses off is the official thing of the thing, but you are gaming your asses off is what you're doing.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So yeah, Justin and Justin are playing video games and losing weight at the same time. And to me, that sounds like a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I don't have to cut out any of my eating habits particular menu items.
That's been my goal. Like, I'm not trying to, I'm a picky eater, so I'm not trying to change what I'm eating. I'm just trying to change how much and pay attention to, you know, if I have something super greasy or whatever at one point in the day, I'm not going to follow that up with another super greasy item. So I'm just trying to mix and match things.
And so far it's working, right?
Yeah.
Like you said,
we just started week 3 and I've lost 11 pounds just by calorie counting
and
cutting soda.
And I've already cut soda out. So I guess I'm already at that point maybe or something, but just the idea of like, if this works for you, I'm kind of like playing the wait and see game. So if this works for you guys, or especially you, I don't know what Gifford's doing, but like, you're just like, yeah, I'm just kind of just eating a little bit less of the same stuff I always eat. And like, that sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah. I'm eating less and I'm eating slower because I used to just like, I'm always in a rush. So I would just devour food in front of me and you don't even give your body time to tell you that you're full. And so just like letting that happen is like, I never feel hungry.
You know what might help? Oh my God. I just had an epiphany. If you eat your meals at a table with other people you'll eat slower.
Not true. It makes me uncomfortable. I eat quick and try to get away from the table. I'm serious. Like dinner time conversations yourself.
Well, that's not exactly normal.
Well, I know. Yeah, though.
For the rest of us, though. For the rest of us.
For 99% of everybody listening.
For everyone else. Like, if you just, like, have fun meals. And I don't. I eat by myself, and so I'm like, maybe I'm looking at a computer screen, like, 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm, like, eating breakfast alone. I'm eating lunch in my office alone. And dinner, I will have sometimes. That'll be social. But.
Sometimes.
Yeah, but not always.
Yep.
Even then, it's sometimes it's just like, well, me and Kylie are just playing Diablo, as Ethan would call it.
Diablo.
And we're just like eating while we play
games. You make something I do all the time sound like a lot sadder than I thought it was. Thanks. Like, I eat alone all the time. I thought it was okay, but it's not.
Well, not that it's a bad thing. I do it. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing.
It's just a sad thing.
Right. It's just sad. No, you're going to eat more maybe that way.
Yeah, that is true.
Or eat quicker. I mean, that's...
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the idea, right? It's like you slow down. When I eat slow, when I'm yapping, like if I was eating a sandwich right now, like at the start of this podcast, I'd be halfway done with it, and I'd just be like, meh, I'm done.
Yeah, don't need it. Yeah.
Because my stomach... That's what happens, is I jam so much shit in me, my stomach expands, and I look like one of those dudes from the hot dog eating contest. And, I look distended sometimes after a meal. That's not good.
No, that's unhealthy.
I want to look like bowels. I want to look svelte like you in 2 months.
Yeah, that's the plan.
So please, please make it work so I can then follow suit.
Well, I always hear that, you know, it takes 3 weeks to form new habits, and that's half the reason I did this.
Yeah.
So,
well, just do something seven times.
Something like that.
Well, yeah.
Is it seven times?
Yeah, I thought so. Like, well, if you say something times, you don't forget it.
I got my handy mobile app for counting calories, and
And I don't want to do that though.
It doesn't bother me. It's not for everybody.
He likes stats though.
I love stats.
Oh, you are a stat nerd.
I love stats. So it's like, yeah.
He's doing a good job
math while I'm eating.
I'm really proud of you, and actually, I'm proud of us because our meals as of late, before the show, have gotten a little bit healthier.
We
replaced the beef with the turkey tonight.
Yeah. Yes, we did. So, what else?
Yeah. I just ate a handful of turkey. That's all I had tonight. I mean, yeah, we're all trying to get a little bit
healthier. I had one burger tonight.
You usually have
two.
Like five.
I'm like wimpy.
To put it into perspective, a month ago, we had burgers that had bacon and cheese in them, and then we put three slices of cheese on top of that. I mean, that literally happened. So,
and then we had two of those, I think. Did you have two of those?
No, I only had one.
Mm. Oh, I did.
So, everyone's habits are changing. It's a good thing. Proud of you guys.
Thank you.
You guys look good.
Yeah, instead of having a second burger, I'm just having some scotch.
Yeah, no, you've turned the corner on that. Like, much better.
That many. How many calories is in, like, a glass of whiskey?
I know the bourbon's like 60.
What?
60
that's calories. Nothing.
Oh, I didn't know that was a diet drink.
Yeah.
Why am I drinking beer? I'm drinking like light.
Oh
beer.
My
I'll just
god!
Drink
you're
scotch.
You
That's
are
dumb.
A tub of lard drinking beer. Beer is so bad for you.
Just get right on the scotch. How much alcohol is in that? That's like equal to like three beers alcohol wise, right?
Oh yeah,
hell yeah.
You'll get drunk.
Let's drink up.
Yeah,
scotch it up.
So, okay, drown your sorrows and get skinny.
While I'm
at the
eating
same
alone,
time.
While I'm eating alone, I'll eat alone. I'll put my here's what I'll do. I'll drink scotch. Put my cat's plates on the table so they'll eat with me. I've got it going on the scotch corner. I've got my friends with me. Yeah.
Perfect. So, oh my god,
that's sad.
Yeah, that I was like, that made it more sad. So I'm about halfway to my weight limit goal or my weight loss goal. Gifford is about halfway to his gamer points goal, so it'll be curious to see here on the second half how we turn that around. He's definitely put in more game time than me at this point, and that guy is a thorough game player.
Yeah, he is.
Like, my plan was going into a bunch of single-player adventure games and just playing it once all the way through, moving on to the next game. He demolishes a game. He wants all 1,000 points if he can get it. And we actually started playing the same game to start this off in The Darkness 2, and just seeing him kind of double my achievements has kind of changed my approach.
So. You have more games. He has more OCD.
Yeah.
So we're going to see which one of those is, you know, the more powerful, you know.
And maybe an addiction to Chivos. Like, he's the cookie monster of video games.
Oh, you know what? He kind of is. Yeah. But he's not going to look like it. Not anymore.
No. Months. Yeah, Cookie Monster's a little...
He could lose a little bit of weight.
Yeah.
Probably shave. I don't know.
Well,
he looks disheveled, I think.
Maybe
he
gets some glasses.
Like Cookie Monster did. Yeah,
good Lord, he's got lazy eye, like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah. So if you want to support either Justin, we're actually taking donations on the site, and those donations go directly to Child's Play,
which is awesome.
Yeah, it's really great. Really great charity.
We'd appreciate the support if you could, leave some supportive comments, maybe donate and share it with your friends.
Yeah,
and
do it yourself. Why not?
Yeah, a couple guys on the site I've already joined in too. We're keeping track of their progress as well.
Or wait and see if it actually works.
Yeah, no,
that's
or
what
do
I'm
what
doing.
Josh does. Yeah, yeah.
Donate. And then just wait and see.
Yeah. You're like a weight loss hipster, dude.
Whatever. You know what? I'm going to eat more.
I lost weight before everyone else lost weight. Slim fast. Yeah, but you'll start doing slim fast.
Fast the new thin. Let's have a sandwich.
My horrible shout out goes to Coleman Rowe. He wrote a piece last week, a gaming lifestyle piece on, he kind of opened the door, a dangerous door to retro game collecting. He's been talking quite a bit about, if you've listened to any of our recent Super Gaming Best Friends episodes, he's
good
been
show.
Going into his local game shops and buying some older games. He's actually been going back and getting some PlayStation 2 games and some Nintendo 64 games, because it actually started with his Nintendo 64 collection. But he made the good point that, you know, once you kind of open this door and start kind of, you may go in, focusing on one or two games, just one or two classics that you really want to play right now. But once that door is open and you make that leap of buying the system, then that game library isn't as difficult to jump into. And he's kind of scared. So I think he kind of wrote this piece as kind of a warning to himself to not, you know, to not go too far. And I just thought it was a really relatable piece, because I've I've jumped this first hurdle a couple times in my life and luckily have not completely fallen off.
Yeah, Steam saved me from that. There was a point where I was collecting PC boxes, like, I still kind of want to. Like, I still kind of miss that side of things, but when Steam came out, I was really like, oh, I don't like this. I don't have a box. But, I mean, I think it goes from boxes to old games, to old systems, to arcade machines.
Arcade machines.
To pinball machines, to old Nickelodeon-style machines, to that little hoop game that Native Americans played, and then what... You know what I mean?
And then you just find yourself... Adding and subtracting things with an abacus.
Rolling wrestling. And then gladiatorial combat.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. It's a slippery slope.
Oh, shit. You guys want to cut each other with some swords?
Yeah, why not? Can animals be around?
Dude, jab a gladius in my stomach.
Wait a minute. You have access to the zoo.
Oh, shit.
Oh, snap.
Let's get eaten by some tigers.
Why not? And some monkeys? Monkeys can hold swords. That's even worse.
The red panda looks scary.
It is. It does. It looks kind of cute, but then you think that thing could bite you.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like...
And they have
like,
poison teeth, don't they?
When you see its head, you're like, oh, that's a bear.
Yeah.
You think it's a monkey, and then it turns around, you're like, shit. Nope.
It shocks you.
Dude, PC gamers already have their garage sale. It's called GOG.com. Mm. Good old gamers. Good old games. Because we... Like, it's... There is a shit ton of the classics.
Yeah.
That... Not like old shit, like Sopwith or something like that. Yeah. But... Like the anything with like color graphics, pretty much is on GOG.
Yeah, we're talking about maybe early mid '90s and up. Yeah, there's a lot. Of good stuff
Interplay RPGs. Hit it up. Oh yeah.
Boop. Video games, the doorway to gladiatorial combat.
Yep. Yeah, that is a claim we made.
All right.
This is Retro Game Collector.
Now it's time for our on-the-spot question, our weekly question from the community. You can write in to ask@horriblenight.com, and we will read your question and tangent dramatically from it and hopes of not answering it for you. Josh has our question this week.
Dave Seeger writes in. He's got a whole big thing about the Runic games discussing the Torchlight 2, why it's been taking so long. But his question is, would you rather wait until a game is ready for prime time to play it, or just play as soon as it is the alpha or beta is available?
I think it depends on the developer for me. Like, I have to have a level of trust in that developer before I'm going to spend money. So it depends. So if I'm paying money for this alpha or beta, I'm only giving you money if I have the utmost confidence that you're going to finish the game and, like, fix whatever is making it alpha beta, basically. But, you know, I played the Torchlight 2 beta, and
you did? I didn't know that.
And I played a little bit of it, but I was sad when I couldn't log in again, and I just want to kind of... I don't care what glitches. I just want to keep kind of playing this game, and, you know, I hope they make it... I hope they make it great, but... I'm ready now, and if you'd let me play right now, I would give you money to play right now.
Right now I have, there's just so many games, like, you know, there's been a couple times I've gotten access to a beta, you know, and it's been like, oh, cool, like, I kind of want to test it out, and then I look over at my library that's just so backlogged, and I'm like, you know, unless this game is really, really calling out to me, I haven't really jumped into it. Like, hey, Ethan, I'm a beta! I'm a damn beta! I've never jumped into it. I actually...
Like a fish?
Like those battlefish. Aren't betas battlefish?
Battlefish.
Like battlefish.
But when I do get into betas,
sequel to battle
chips. Missed the jokes, and then you made other jokes.
I don't know what a beta
and...
is. It's like a goldfish, isn't it? But you can't eat them. They're poison.
Yeah, sure.
I guess every animal I don't know about is poison.
I would play the alpha version of battlefish.
You should. Well, but like, I play dumb betas. Like, I played the Medal of Honor beta. Like, the multiplayer beta.
You're right,
like,
that's dumb.
Why would I do that? But then there's...
With the original or the new one?
The newest one. Newest, yeah. And then so, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm confused by betas. Maybe I should play them. I don't know. But I'm backlogged, man. I'm confused.
Do you own
up.
Any fish or not?
Huh?
Nothing.
You guys are doing it wrong. Okay, so, there's a few ways this
happens. Go ahead and tell us how you're doing.
Thank God Josh Lee is here.
Yeah.
Pinball ace. Josh Lee's here to tell us how to play video games.
All right, Dave, let me break this one down for you. This is how betas and alphas work now.
Thanks, Bill.
So first of all,
you get the jello pudding pops.
You're going to get the alpha out of the beta.
So it used to be...
Oh, he's actually going to tell us now.
So it used to be betas were kind of like... a pretty special thing. When you got into beta test, it was like, oh shit, I get to have it chance to like help make this game better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like I remember like the first beta I ever got into was like the Diablo 2 beta or something maybe. It was like, it was a big deal. And they sent you a disc. You know, it was on disc.
Mm. Don't you think Josh is a better person now?
And,
yeah,
I think
he is.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, lucky. Guys.
You're one of those kids that we were all jealous of in high school. We were getting hand jobs. You were getting beta discs.
Yeah. I remember filling out bug reports. And then, like, other games, the same thing. But it wasn't like not every game had it. And then, somewhere along the line, like, you know, fast forward like 10 years, somewhere along the line, betas turned into a way for players to demo a game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then a way for the publishers or developers to get pre-order money out of people. Yeah. Buy this game, get the beta. So they hype something up and they go, look at the beta. And how there is no way that the majority of people that play betas and alphas and shit these days actually submit bug reports. And luckily, I think most people know that. So most of these, the guys are collecting data that automatically, so they don't have to like fill out forms and shit.
So we were doing it wrong because we didn't submit bug reports.
I should have. Yes. I had like 15 of them.
You
I just,
son
I
of a bitch.
That's pretty much the whole point.
Ethan Moses.
But I would say in regards to that though, like people do fill those forms up though. I mean those. I mean they're getting. I mean they're getting their automatic updates, but they're also getting people that just angry people that want, or maybe not angry.
This
people,
is
people,
a thing.
Like, oh wait a minute! This is a. Well, this is
really unbalanced.
So that's what I mean.
I play this every day, but they're not representative of the average player.
Well, yeah, and that's
so that doesn't necessarily weigh a lot.
But sometimes if you dig into some of their criticism, you can sometimes pull stuff out. Like angry.
I've read plenty of those. Okay, so like I read Game Developer Magazine, and like you'll get guys talking about that.
Another. Point,
yeah.
Point you guys didn't read that?
No, we don't. I guess
you're not in the know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, so they'll talk about that. Like, you know, you can, you know, extrapolating useful data out of whiny bullshit forum posts. And like, that's an art form, I think. But, so I personally don't have, like,
now everything's art.
I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem playing something that's not done. I know it's not done. I'm not responding to that. And it's like, I know it's not ready, but I know, like, I really want to check this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll use those as demos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? If I can get into that now for free.
Yeah.
So I know that, cause I know, okay, that's just polish. That's a, you know, that's just a weird, you know, or that's a missing feature that you're going to add that in.
Mm-hmm.
I can say, I know I'm going to like this game, but I don't have the time to fill out bug reports. Like, that's not happening. So I'm definitely not paying for an alpha or beta. Like, it just to, like, help someone out. You want to pay? Like, you pay me, fucker. Yeah. See, pay some QA dudes.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that for you. Like, it's bullshit. I understand stress testing, you can't do that, but everything else.
Do you feel like now that we're actually kind of paying for something that people actually used to get paid for, do you think that's kind of, is there kind of a negative movement going there? Like, I understand, like, the smaller kind of, like, you know, developers who can't afford necessarily a bunch of testers and stuff. And it does work, absolutely. But, I mean, are we kind of putting people out of the job? Are we outsourced? Are we
a little bit? Yeah.
I mean,
but there's the other side of that Minecraft started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You buy the alpha, like, you know what it is,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, it's going to work, but we're going to continue to add features.
Yeah.
But it's not, we're going to make sure it's not super buggy each version. Like, mm-hmm. cause there are some games you play like that it's like, oh, here's a new version out. Like, you play the daily versions or whatever.
Yeah.
And, oh, this just doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
Like, this thing's completely broken or whatever. So, but that's like a thing now, you know. Project Zomboid was doing it. They had that little unfortunate incident with the stolen laptop.
Game. Yeah.
But, and then like, Overgrowth is doing it. The guys who did, it's the, you know, the one with the Kung Fu Rabbits.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have a problem with that necessarily because those guys, that's how they're funding their game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference between that and like Kickstarter, but like, you know, you have something now you can play with.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I did it with Minecraft. I didn't care. You know, like, it's a thing. But I don't seem like calling it alpha and beta. There's just labels. It's like, hey, here's a game.
True.
And just say it works so that we know that we're going to play a game that works, and then just say, we're going to continue making more stuff, and it's a promise for the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. And you're like, here, it's cheaper now for you. That's fine, too. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, but yeah, buying a game so you can play the beta for Medal of Honor.
That's, yeah, but
or whatever, that's, like, not good.
Yeah.
Not that you did that. I don't know. But some do that, though. Sometimes that happens. Like, what they said it now, the new Medal of Honor, you buy that, and you get into the beta for Battlefield 4.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. You're right. Where were you last year? For me. Well, actually,
I was right here beside you. You just didn't see me.
I should have. and I'm sorry. I start almost.
You can't see me.
I'm gonna start humming the Little Mermaid theme song. I don't know why. I felt like that fit at that time. Sorry.
Again, if you want to submit your own on the spot question, the email address is ask@horriblenight.com.
Or just send them directly to me.
Yeah, right to Josh. He knows everything.
Yeah.
He reads Game Developer Magazine.
He leveled up on this podcast. Or leveled us down. I'm not really sure what happened. Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Superhero video games.
Mm.
They've had an interesting history, to say the least, and kind of had a resurgence here the last couple of years. So what I kind of want to do here tonight is kind of go over the first games that kind of popped to mind in the retro variety, then talk through some recent ones and any other highlights, see where that takes us, and then kind of wrap up the show with where do we think they're actually going from here? Where can they go?
Hmm.
Because I think they've hit a little bit of a plateau or a ceiling here lately, and we can debate that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's interesting.
Mm.
I hope so, because we're going to talk about it. So what classic game comes to mind when I say classic superhero game?
Ooh, very first one I ever remember playing was the Batman game for the NES.
So good.
It was good, but I remember playing it, and so you had the opportunity to be Batman and punch, and, side-scrolling. And then there was also Batwing stages as well.
Oh, I don't remember those.
I do believe so.
You were about as good as I was then.
I didn't get that far.
I don't remember that either.
Well, and that was the thing. It was really tough to get to those stages. Like,
it was hard.
Back in the day, like, to get, there was games like...
Who made that? Hudson? Hudson.
Yep.
And good music, too.
And that was when before, like, vehicle combat was pretty common. So when you had a game that you had combat and you wanted to get to that level, and once you got to that level, evil either sucked really bad or you just couldn't get to it. But I remember playing that, and I mean, it was cool. Like, I didn't fully understand who Batman was, who he should be about.
It was based on the movie.
Yeah. It was based on the Michael Keaton movie.
Yeah.
And, movie game tie-in suck for the most part. I mean, generally speaking, they suck.
But
at that era, you could, other than E.T.
This was kind of, it played like a better Ninja Gaiden to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had gadgets.
Yes.
But you weren't using
them. Limited. Cling to walls. Yeah.
Limited gadgets.
And that blew my mind.
Limited batarangs and stuff.
It was all about platforming and traversal and, enemies being in awkward locations that made it really difficult. And I think either it was you didn't have very much health or you didn't get very many, you couldn't refill your health very easily or it carried over between stages. You're always in the danger of dying.
I swear those dudes played Ninja Gaiden and were like, let's do that with Batman.
Yeah. But make it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that bad.
But I sucked at games.
And for the era, the graphics are pretty damn good, too.
No, they look cool.
Yeah, it was solid.
I remember there being a scene where there was enemies that I really didn't know what they were. Do you guys remember that? Like, it was like a sewer scene, and there was
very, very vague.
Like a big monster, and I was like, what's going on here?
It was
strange. It wasn't, it was based on the Batman movie, but it wasn't,
That world wasn't really well defined outside of that main story.
Yeah.
I just remember jumping around, like, industrial complexes.
Yeah. Well, and they were.
Surprise.
The chemical plant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Sure.
Now.
Ace.
And you actually knocked. I don't want to spoil it for anyone. Okay. You actually knocked the Joker into the... Before he's the Joker, because he's the Red Mask. No, he wasn't the Red Mask.
He's Jack Napier.
Yes, okay, that's right. Because Red Mask was classic, right? Am I correct?
Crimson Red Mask. Hood, you mean?
Red Hood. Fucking same shit.
No, that's it's relatively new.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah,
I thought it was.
Yeah, it is.
Black Mask. That's right, also pretty new.
Jack Napier, he was the next name.
Red Hood's pretty new, because it's actually Jason Todd.
Okay, comics.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was trying to insert some Batman.
I
can't moderate this part.
But I remember when you were able to kick that in, I was like, oh, I remember seeing the movie and being like, oh, that happened in the movie. Cool, that was neat. Now those moments in games now are so you don't have that.
I think that might be the game that kind of set the tone of that movie game tie-ins, superhero games. They might not be too bad. Mm-hmm. That was always my baseline was that first Batman game. Because that was the first one I was going to throw out.
Well, there weren't a ton of games back then anyway. I mean, there's a lot of games, but not like today where you see a tie-in, you're like, there's other stuff we could be playing. So, I mean, it was cool. It was when we first started playing games. I was like, oh, cool. I like Batman. He's a good guy.
What else jumps out to you, Josh?
My first superhero game I ever owned was Wolverine on the NES, which, again, was a side-scroller platformer. It was LJN. So, that's a thing. It had really good music. Like, really good music. It used that sound chip like no other game did. It was doing sounds that I don't remember any other game having, and it was quality stuff. And
I've played this.
I've listened to it in recent years. The soundtrack, it's still really fucking good. So you're basically going up against Sabretooth, but there's some like other bad guys in it. The problem with this game though was like you were not very tough. Like you're like Wolverine could die so easy. You had a health bar that wasn't just like little tick marks. You would stand on something, it would just drain you. So like for as long as you're touching the thing. It's like time based. Like as long as you're touching something bad, it's draining down.
Oh, so it's not. You don't have the invincibility.
It wasn't like one hit and knock you back, and then flash and then come back. And it wouldn't. That wasn't it. It was bad. And you had to hit select, and you bring out your claws, and you would punch real hard, but you would drain your health when you had your claws out.
That doesn't make sense.
It was so hard because of that. And because I always want to have my claws out. I'm like, I'm fucking Wolverine. I want to tear something up.
Yeah.
You would just hold down the button for attack, and you would have these like really smooth combos of punches and kicks. It looked okay, but it was not practical at all.
Yeah.
This game was really difficult. It wasn't very good, but I loved Wolverine at the time.
Yeah.
And he had the yellow and brown suit, which is my favorite Wolverine costume.
Well,
And the music was so good. I actually played the shit out of this game, and I never, ever beat it.
Shouldn't health be the opposite problem in a Wolverine game?
I know.
But that was back before they knew anything about, like... That was a weird thing. Like, thinking back
I question if they still know, like, the strengths and weaknesses of characters when they design these games.
We'll get to that. With Batman, but I was just saying, like, with Batman, with Wolverine, you had to constrain your superhero, which is... issues that, and we'll talk about it further, but issues that came into it. Like, that's when I started to first realize some of those games, like, wait a second, these are not the superheroes I know and love. They're a little bit weaker.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my brain was starting to grow a little
you
bit.
You never felt super.
Mm-mm. But you couldn't, because they couldn't make a game like that back
then. Another game that ties in this is the first one that I jumped to after we kind of cleared it in our screening process here, but the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, the Konami game? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That game was really fucking hard. Those turtles couldn't swim for shit.
Mm-mm.
And that
level, those stages sucked.
That level sucked.
Fucking bomb levels.
But there was something about that game's challenge that kept me coming back, because I always thought if I can get past that level, I could do the next thing and then repeat.
You never did. Yeah.
And plus you have four turtles. How hard can this game be? Because if one turtle dies, you can just be the next turtle. And the game's really hard. And also has really good music.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on there, though. Similarities between these games is they're all kind of 2D platforming, action fighter brawler games.
Right.
Yeah. I'm
assuming, Wolverine, it wasn't your classic brawler, like your double
dragons. No. It was more like a Mega Man without a gun.
Yeah. And that Turtles one, I remember that had some really sticky combat. You didn't feel like the Turtles, you know? Like,
it was unique. It was interesting. Like, I actually enjoyed playing that. Yeah. It was hard, but it was actually kind of fun in a way, because all the turtles had totally different attacks. Mm-hmm. You could
swap between them, and they remembered their health.
Yep.
And Donatello was like the most useful turtle
for the
first time ever.
So long, you could sit on a ledge and just poke downwards. Screen.
If one of the turtles died, you could save him, because he was kidnapped. He was all tied to a chair, which turtles could never get tied to a chair. Actually, they did the first movie. Raphael did. But anyway, then you get to the water stage.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Fuck that. That was the water stage goes in that compartment in my brain with the Battletoads.
Yep.
Little flying stages.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, this is the fuck you stages. Where if I think about them, that's where I go. When I need to get in a fight with someone, I just go to that place.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like,
I get
pumped.
That's severe. Well, and I was at that time, I was old enough to start to realize, like, the Ninja Turtle universe doesn't necessarily make sense. They're Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But I remember, like, swimming and be like, this isn't really where am I, what is this? Like, I get what I'm doing. I'm in the sewer, that's where I should be living. And then now I'm like,
am I a tortoise or a turtle?
You
know what I'm saying?
So apparently, to be memorable to us, these games have to be 2D platformers, they have to be difficult, and they have to have good music.
Yeah,
that was our, and with like the characters.
Did Batman have, yeah, you said that
Batman had good music. It was very evocative of the movie, I think.
That's
probably why I liked it.
The sweet beats.
So beyond these original retro games, without kind of going to more recent games, what else jumps out to you in the backlog there?
X-Men Arcade.
Yeah.
played the shit out of that in the theater.
Pretty sure I beat that one. That might have been a birthday party.
I played it in movie theater, but I played it in a
birthday
for
party
Walmart.
That was a birthday party game. Well, it could turn out bad because if somebody won a Wolverine and there was always a Josh Lee in the group that won a
Colossus,
Wolverine.
Colossus, dude.
You went with Colossus? Really? Well, he was...
Just dropping quarters in because I can't stop doing that.
So who'd you have? Gambit? Was Gambit in that?
Nope. Nightcrawler, Colossus, Cyclops, Wolverine, Storm, and Dazzler.
Okay, because now I'm getting confused with the Sega Genesis that we'll talk about in the next. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm getting those two. Because it was classic. Classicer X-Men. And then after that, once the cartoon came out, is when you started to get the... Okay.
And the other one that was kind
of... No, that was like... Wasn't that based on the cartoon?
I think so. Yeah, I think it was this. Yeah. It was... Are you sure? Because
No, you're right.
Because there was one based on the cartoon, which is the one I'm thinking
of. No, the cartoon came out in the 90s, and that was in the 80s, I think. I think that was like late 80s.
Late
80s
or early
90s, like that.
I remember playing in the arcade.
The cartoon was like 91.
And, yeah.
That was awesome, though. It was just so classic beat-em-up.
Yeah.
It was really hard, but man, the six-player version of that with the two screens, the first time I saw that, because my Walmart, where I played the arcade games for the most part,
had
the four-player one, and then I was in, like, I traveled to Bloomington, Indiana from my hometown of Noble, Illinois, and I saw the six-player one and two screens? What? Six players at once?
I miss that. As a child, I would have been really pumped about
awesome.
That.
Fucking awesome. Man, it was amazing. Super wide
screen. And I think after that was the Captain America and Avengers game. Same style.
Yeah.
But also fun and more like projectile weaponry. That's what I remember
about
that.
You get to play as Vision. Like, Vision doesn't get any credit. He's like the Martian Manhunter for the Avengers, you know? Like, that guy was the glue for... Martian Manhunter was the glue for Justice League. And Vision was like, he's the dude who was like, you know what? Like, Avengers are like, you know what? We just beat stuff up. What the hell is actually going on? And Vision's like, let me tell you. So it was kind of like that. But I played I had the NES version of that game, which was,
it was different.
Completely different game. You could only play as Captain America and Hawkeye. The other dudes got tied up and like captured. I was like, what? That's lazy, you know, because it could be Iron Man.
What? Where is everybody?
It was a totally different game. Yeah, it wasn't very good. But I
always remember the disappointment like that because I remember playing like a Ninja Turtles game in the arcade and then renting
those
that
games
one.
Were good. Those games were good.
The first one. Yeah.
Yeah. Were those first?
No. But which was first in these in all these brawler games that we could not wait to spend money on?
I think Ninja Turtles was.
I don't know.
I want to say it was.
Yeah, that was. Before X-Men, I think.
It was before X-Men and Simpsons. Simpsons and X-Men came out around the same time.
Yeah.
But I think Turtles...
It's all Konami, though, right?
Yeah. That shit was good.
They kind of had the monopoly on those kind of brawler games, didn't they?
I mean, that's what I became to... That's what I started associating superhero games with. That was the only way to do them was these brawlers.
Yeah. I got to say something, too, because I've had this conversation and someone has told me that Ninja Turtles were not superheroes. And I say, then that means the X-Men aren't either.
Yeah.
Because they're just fucking mutants.
They're both mutants, yeah.
Boom. Whatever.
Turtles are super
fast.
I'm
okay because they're both comic book based.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, I never read the comics. Maybe in the comics they were something else.
And we probably got a few of these that started reverse the game and then the comic, too. So.
Sure. Yeah.
As far as... I struggle to remember if this game's real now. Was there around the death of Superman era, was there a Superman arcade game?
Yes, there was. It was a little bit before that, but yeah, it was a two-player co-op game. One, you played as Superman, and the second player played as Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh.
Billy Bastion, who was actually, I think he was like a small retarded boy, then he got hit by the powers of the wizard Shazam, and he was suddenly a grown-up superhero with full mental powers and physical superpowers. He's basically Superman without the laser eyes, I think.
That was a story ahead of its time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
wow.
I like the variety in the stages.
It's like The
Boy
game. Who Could Fly. You ever seen that?
Yeah, that was that was also a beat 'em up
game.
It mixed up a lot of the gameplay. Like, you had like flying levels and you're
on the ground beating stuff up and then you're doing Captain America and the Avengers did the same thing. They had the on the ground beat 'em up and then you're on like sleds, flying sleds.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Well, for the guys that couldn't fly.
Yeah.
And then you're fighting like stuff in the
Yeah.
But I remember really liking that game.
That was a thing.
So it went from brawler to shmup.
That's probably my
kind
of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, generic, you know, like
generic,
really.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
That's probably my one Superman highlight, I think, was that game. Anything else around this era or jump out to you, Ethan?
I mean, the X-Men game on the Genesis was, I really liked,
oh,
that was, you know, who all was in that? I'm trying to think of, So that is when you had your Wolverine, your Gambit,
Beast,
Colossus,
Cyclops,
Beast, Cyclops, and then
so what was that?
Nightcrawler was in at least the second one. I played the second one the most because that was co-op.
I always get
that was so good. The second one was really fun, and you could play as Magneto.
Yeah, and it was co-op too, was it not?
Yeah, yeah, two player.
Yep, it was cool.
My neighbor that had the Genesis, because I didn't have one, that was one of the few games he had, was X-Men 2.
And I was almost more excited about that game than I was about the Ninja Turtles game, because I was almost more into the X-Men at that time when the cartoon was out than I was into the Ninja Turtles. I mean, it was, I was like, yeah! And I was always Gambit.
The Genesis X-Men games were like the first superhero games I can remember where you could use your superpowers and you didn't like take damage from doing it.
And they were distinct too.
Like I could use my Cyclops eye beams and it didn't take my health.
Yeah.
Like Jesus.
This is always the gimmick they had to employ. Yeah. You can't overpower. So it hurts you.
You're super, but that came from the super move.
The whole reason to like
the Streets of Rage.
Give me an energy.
Kick.
Yeah. Give me an energy well.
Ninja Turtles did it too.
Yep. We can't spam.
Exactly.
Give me an energy well that had to fill up.
I wonder who was the first one to do that.
I don't know.
Magic Sword, maybe?
What was the structure of the X-Men game?
It was a platformer, I believe.
No, as far as like, was there any restriction to what character you could choose, and they had specific levels, or I might be confusing.
No. You might be thinking of like the
Super Nintendo, maybe.
Well, they had the there were some Super Nintendo ones that did that.
All right, never mind. I needed to play this Genesis one. It sounds like
It was cool. Yeah, I have good memories of that game. I wasn't good at it. Was it tough, or was I just not good at it?
Yeah, they were kind of tough.
The bosses were a little bit.
I got pretty far in them, so that means they weren't that bad.
Yeah.
Not to say anything bad about my own gaming prowess.
Those are some good memories, and we'll keep coming back to those, but what's the first game that you kind of remember tripping up? What's the first, like, kind of...
Ooh, the first pooper? Yeah. Well, I already kind of mentioned it. Come on. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to say the Spider-Man and X-Men in Arcade's Revenge for Super Nintendo. It was like holy shit, Spider-Man and X-Men. And when I played it, I'm pretty sure both of those cartoons were on the air. Mm-hmm. And, big fan at the time of both of those, and had comics, I had toys and shit. And I'm like, okay, this looks good. I remember seeing screenshots and stuff, and it looked fantastic. Side scrolling, but maybe a little more exploration or something. Turns out that game sucked. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it at all. I thought, it dabbled in things that were fun, like Spider-Man's got his web, and the previous Spider-Man game I played before that was Spider-Man on the Atari, which you just climbed straight up a building, and dudes were in windows, and when you'd swing back and forth, you'd try not to hit them, or they would break your rope or your web, and you'd fall, and Green Goblin was at the top, throwing pumpkins.
Like, sounds like a combination of Pitfall and Donkey Kong.
It was awful. So, but anyways, this one, and like, this had like, I remember, you might remember Cyclops in his X-Factor uniform or his costume, where he was like, it was blue with like big white X stripes on it. He looked goofy as shit. It was one of the worst costumes of all time.
When did this come out again?
This is kind of early on Super Nintendo. This is before they did like the other Spider-Man games.
The ones with separation anxiety.
The good ones, right. Yeah, this one, but it was, that was a terrible, I don't terrible
Spider-Man
game.
Spider-Man struggled. Honestly, I think he had a rocky history.
He had tough abilities to capture inside of a game. You know what I mean? Like that, the whole web slinging is one of his biggest assets.
No, man, he punches dudes in the face and then he like kind of jumps over them real far. Like that's it.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is have some verticality to the game, kick someone in the face.
Yeah, but I almost feel like you want to have that. Once you have that web swinging, it's like, oh, now I feel more like Spider-Man. Before that, you feel like I'm beating some guys up and I can jump.
Well,
those
other Super Nintendo games did that really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Separation Anxiety and the Maximum Carnage ones.
You could swing across the map.
It was still just the same old final fight kind of beat 'em up.
Yeah.
But you could just swing across the screen.
That had an impact.
Stay above the enemies a little bit. So you had like a safe zone. Because when you're swinging, when Spider-Man's swinging, nothing should be able to hit him.
Yeah.
Because he's better than you at that stuff.
He's better at most people with web swinging.
Yeah.
Slinging.
Spider-Man had an arcade game. And you could play as, it was like his Spider-Man's friends too. Like that. Remember the original cartoon? It had like a, it was like a, what was it, Black Cat?
I could
and,
never catch the cartoon.
Maybe like, was it Hawkeye or something like that? Someone else. There were like four. And Namor was in that. Namor was in that game as well. And it was like a four-player beat-em-up.
Oh, was it?
For the arcade.
A lot of beat-em-ups.
It wasn't great. It wasn't awesome, but it was that existed.
Wow.
I played it.
Yeah, I missed quite a few. I don't remember a lot back then.
Trying to think of what else stands out as far as the bad.
Well, you know, I remember seeing, and I don't know if I'm jumping too far ahead, but Superman on the Nintendo 64.
That's notorious.
Hearing about it as a kid.
Yeah, I never did anybody attempt to play it?
Yes.
I
did. Because I was excited, kind of. Because, you know, I was older here, which, looking back, it was kind of idiotic, because I think Nintendo 64, I was middle school, high school at this point. So I can't make the excuse I was a dumb kid. But in my mind, I hadn't played any of those other Superman games. And I remember thinking with a Nintendo 64, this has the ability to expand upon superhero games because there's a little bit more flexibility, you know, because you got a little bit more power behind it. And I was like, Superman, that'll be great. I saw screenshots of him flying. Yes, you know, because you didn't fly all that often in games, like have that kind of ability to. And then I played the game. Oh, man. Like, everything people say about it is absolutely true. It was just, it looked horrible. It played horrible. You didn't feel like Superman. You felt like you're just a guy flying in a suit.
It was like hard driving in tights. Like, that's really what it was. You were just steering Superman. I think there was stuff on the ground you could do, but no one ever got that far because the first level, you have to fly through rings.
Mm-hmm.
And the controls were so unbelievably hard.
Yeah.
And like loose, and like it was, you had to be super deliberate with it. And you were like, it was like you were steering Superman with a wheel.
That was one of the, because
like jam a steering wheel in his ass
and fly
and
him.
Then, yeah, and then
sit on his back and fly him.
Right.
Yeah.
I bet Lois did that once or twice.
Well, I'm sure she did, especially in Dean Cain's Superman.
Oh,
good looking guy.
He had a cabinet full of nothing but junk food in his kitchen.
Oh, I remember.
If you're Superman, like, you just eat whatever you want.
Why not? Hell yeah. Yeah, your body's...
Sorry.
You know, not gonna, really. But yeah, I actually took that game back and rented a different game, and I never used to do that back then because my mom wouldn't let me, but I think she knew it was bad.
Sucks.
Yeah, no, I convinced her.
Superman on the Atari, I won't go deep into it, but you couldn't die in that one.
Like, well?
It was probably the best Superman game because you're actually Superman.
Yeah, it was true to form, yeah.
You would turn back into Clark sometimes, but like,
well, okay.
You weren't dying.
Just
you
were just disguise. Trying
to... You just like, oh, you didn't rescue some people.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most true Superman game they ever made.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
We've already kind of mentioned that Spider-Man games have struggled a little bit. It's got some good ones.
Mm-hmm.
But what other, like, superheroes haven't really gotten their dues? As far as... first one that kind of jumped out to me... Josh might laugh at this one, but I thought of Spawn, just because... When I was growing up in that era, Spawn was like this badass new character. Yeah.
That was what the bad kids, that was the comic the bad kids liked.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you know, like that's separate. We liked the X-Men, like the kids that went to church watched X-Men, the bad kids, you know.
Yeah, you want to read some Spawn and smoke cigarettes?
Spawn, bro? I got some Spawn in it. Yeah, yeah.
Look, I got this cigarette in my mom's ashtray. Let's smoke it. It's like only half there.
What, so, like, does he get his due in like Soul Calibur 2 or whatever he showed
up
in?
Well, probably.
Actually. I played a couple of Spawn games. Mm-hmm. One was on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
It was a side-scroller. It looked good. The graphics were nice. Gameplay, as nice.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of those games I would have appreciated more later on.
Gotcha.
With some perspective. But the other one was on the Dreamcast. It was like a... it was almost like Power Stone. I think it was four players, too. And it was like a... it was like one of those like beat-em-ups, been 3D.
Huh.
And you could go all over the stage and do all kinds of crazy stuff. And it had Violator and like all these characters from Spawn, from the comics. Mm-hmm. It was fun. I liked it at the time. I don't know if it, maybe looking back, you know, I don't know. If I played it now, I'd probably go,
it just seems like his character would,
at the time it was cool.
Yeah. It would lend itself well to being a badass video game character.
No, he has a lot of flexibility in terms of his powers. I mean, he's, you know, he does all kinds of different fun things, and games back in the day couldn't do that. You know what I mean? Like the Super Nintendo one, I remember playing being like, I'm Spawn, and I wasn't really the Spawn that I wanted to be.
What I mean? That character, though, is a product of bad 90s comic books. So, like, the best thing I think that ever came out of Spawn as a property was probably that HBO cartoon.
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
What about Michael J. White's role in the Spawn movie?
Nope.
I didn't mind
John Leguizamo was great in that.
Oh,
as a clown.
I can't believe it.
Jesus. He's one of the worst actors ever. He's worse than Rob Schneider.
You've never seen The Pest, have you?
Yeah.
Classic Leguizamo. I can't even say his name.
Whatever.
He does like dramatic acting now, and I can't do it.
Enough of Leguizamo.
Oh, sorry.
Tangent.
That's for next week's podcast. Leguizamo cast.
Are we saying that right? It sounds weird now that we said it to him.
It doesn't matter.
Leguizamo. Leguizamo.
We're adding... Actually, vowels to it now.
Green Lantern hasn't got his due
ever in anything besides
the
comics.
Give us a good fucking Green Lantern game. Like, as far as I can remember, the only times Green Lantern has shown up in games is the Mortal Kombat versus DC fighting game.
Oh yeah, he had his own game. Movie tie-in.
That doesn't exist. And then
yeah, it does.
And then
you like Green Lantern?
I love Green Lantern.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought you really liked Green Lantern.
Yeah, he was in the Justice League Heroes game, mm-hmm. which was basically the X-Men Legends or Marvel Ultimate Alliance that beat 'em up Diablo action RPG style, but with DC.
Yeah.
It wasn't great, but it had like the whole Justice League in there.
Yeah.
So that was kind of neat. But it only had, I think you were just John Stewart, and you could unlock a Hal Jordan skin for John Stewart, which John Stewart turned into a white guy. It's somehow super racist, I think.
That was the issue with Green Lantern games. It just got racist all of a sudden.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. But then, you could get some Green Lantern powers in DCUO, like the MMO, but you couldn't even have a symbol. And like, he shows up as an NPC or something. Like, there's no, like, where's the game where that lets me just make anything with my mind?
Yeah. That's true.
Lego, like, or what? No, what's the thing?
Minecraft.
It's Mind something. It's not Lego, but it's like Mind, because I thought of Mind Storm, but it's like the thing, the Jedi thing, mind powers, mind trick thing, that where you can make the ball levitate by attaching that shit to your head. Like, you need basically that, but it's a ring. It goes in your finger, and it's powered by a lantern, and use your will to power the, and you can make any object out of hard light.
But only
and
on
you can
game.
Go into space and.
Sounds like a great game.
Well, I guess I just
how come they haven't made
be
that
Green
yet?
Lantern, pretty much,
yeah,
for real.
Yeah, sounds like it. Somebody, you know what? You're Green Lantern in my heart.
Can someone needs
that?
To buy him a ring.
Yeah, someone get him a ring.
Green Lantern's the best, man. He's a space cop. Everyone loves cops. Cop stories are the best.
He's an honest cop with nothing to lose.
He's a badass. Well, okay, Hal Jordan is the Green Lantern. He's the best. And Hal has no fear. Like, forget the movie. Hal is a badass dude. He's a fighter pilot. He's like, he likes the ladies, and the ladies love him. He's a badass. He doesn't take guff. He'll punch you in the face if he doesn't like you. Like, no bullshit. This is like the John McClane of space. Hal Jordan, and that should be, and
space
why can't,
cop.
Like, give me a damn
space
game.
Space McClane.
Give me a good game.
It sounds like
that.
Iron Man, but without
the
cool suit.
Name it, Space McClane.
He does more shit than Iron Man. Anytime,
Iron Man's
the ring
cool,
does
though.
Whatever.
You agree?
Okay, man.
He
yeah,
can
Iron
make,
Man's great.
He can make a suit out of the hard light.
I probably wouldn't be as good as Iron Man's, though. I mean, I'm just being honest, right?
Yeah. I'm with Ethan.
Whatever.
Space cop. Space cop
pretty
and a half.
I'm pretty
Speaking
sure the
Burt
ring
Reynolds
has more power than the
Iron Man
reactor.
Iron Man hasn't gotten his due in video games.
He has
no.
Has there been an? Yeah, there was an Iron Man tie-in game.
There, I mean, there were the movie
which
tie-ins,
I played,
but they were,
which had some potential as much mm-hmm. as any of those.
I mean,
do,
all,
but,
I mean, all those Sega games. All the Sega's done most of the recent Marvel tie-in games.
Yeah,
and they've all been second class. Or
the
third
flying
class.
Felt okay.
They've been
what's that?
The flying felt okay.
That's what I heard.
Sort of. Yeah.
The graphics always look pretty good, but
they're almost there. I mean, it's like you play those games. I remember playing the Captain America game.
Yeah.
And it's almost there. It's like, oh, yeah. But then it's a movie tie-in game. It still has little quirks about it being a movie tie-in game, and that always restricts
mm-hmm.
anything. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Captain America game kind of ties into the recent problem, mm-hmm. Which started with how amazing the Batman Arkham games have turned out to be. And I think it's worth at least just kind of commenting on our experiences with those games, because I feel like up till now, a lot of the games that we've been talking about are that Final Fight beat 'em up style, or the four player beat 'em ups, and that was like the old style of superhero games. And Batman kind of came along, and in between there, the superhero games were just kind of lost.
Yeah.
We all kind of grew out of beat 'em ups, and Batman kind of redid the beat 'em up system and made a third person adventure game alongside of it, and made for just a great video game, let alone a superhero game.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was no, that you played Batman. It wasn't you played Batman beating people up. I mean, I really like the Ultimate Alliance games, but at the end of the day, they were just, you're moving
dudes
around,
are beating
stuff up.
People up, right.
Batman,
everyone was the
were,
same, really, essentially.
You were stealthy, you fought well, you know, but you had to kind of use your brain a little bit, you were exploring, I mean, yeah, and it worked well, and they weren't constrained by...
You were a detective, too. Like, there were times when you're just
detective.
A damn detective.
And he's a, I think a lot
and
of people
forget
he's a
gameplay.
Detective.
Yeah.
I mean, it nails the character mm-hmm. as far as like mm-hmm. you can still feel like a overpowered badass, but only when you're kind of in the zone.
Yeah,
and but mm-hmm. if you fuck up once, it could be all over.
Yeah,
and That's what I loved about
him. Well, that's Batman. He's just a dude.
He's just a guy.
He just happens to be the best dude
ever.
Like, you know, that ever. That's, you know, when you're in a fight with a bunch of dudes, like with 20 goons, it's like, well, Batman's better than every single one of these guys, but he's got to execute perfectly.
Yep.
Which Batman always does in the comic books and stuff, you know, but, you know, you can fuck up in a game. You have to be able to lose. I think that's the best beat 'em up. Maybe ever. Like, that is so satisfying. It's a great system. It can be complicated, but it rewards you when you actually think a couple moves ahead.
Yeah.
But also, they did a different, or their own, like, take on the Batman universe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has its own visual style.
It's in between a lot of them, and
And they got Kevin Conroy. And they got Mark Hamill.
Ooh.
It's like favorites.
That's what you need. He was like, you know, there was no constraint in terms of his character because they had the ability to give him his gadgets. And there was no constraint in terms of story either, which I think are two things.
Here's what it felt like for me was like all of these games are just designing to the blueprint of superhero games and copying and pasting their superheroes in there and trying to adapt their skills to beat the game.
Yeah.
Feels like Rocksteady looked at Batman and designed a game around what Batman is.
Yeah.
Which doesn't even sound like the hardest thing in the world to do.
It doesn't.
Like, let's look at the comic. Let's read some comics and then think about video games.
Because
what the fuck? It's just you switch two things around and all of a sudden you've got a good game.
Yeah.
Like, how hard is that? It's not even like it's a company that had some great, amazing track record beforehand.
Right.
Yeah.
So you think like, well, if it came out of there, credit to those dudes because they made amazing games.
Yeah.
But like, how the hell do all these other developers fuck this up bad?
They're not thoughtful about the process. I mean, they're not, you know, when you're looking at the characters and you're looking at, like, the fan base that comes from it, you know, a lot of these games have been historically quick fixes. It's movie tie-in. I mean, there very few of these have actually been standalone games outside of Arkham City was the first one I remember that was just a pure standalone game.
That's the other thing. Like, these games are coming out alongside, well, not during the same time frame as one of the biggest movie trilogies in history.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not tying it into the movie.
Right.
They're like, you know, it's promoting Batman in the minds of people, but they didn't force a Batman, a Dark Knight or a Dark Knight Rises game isn't really going to be the most fun game to play.
So, it's going
to
be text-based. So it's going to be point and click. Yeah. You know, it's not, you know, it's going to have... the people that like, okay, here's what developers need to understand. The people that like superheroes, okay, that like superheroes don't want to replay the story they just saw.
True.
In the theaters. They don't. But they still think that superheroes, there's kind of a kiddie thing, even though, box office numbers and just popularity of comics just completely contradicts that mentality. It's still like, comic book, you know, people that love comic books are stupid. Like, you're dumb. You're gonna buy this because it's a comic book.
No, they think kids are dumb.
Well, but they connect us to, they connect that to kids and they keep popping these out because they think, they'll buy it because it's whatever. Comic book junkies, and I'm talking comic book junkies, aren't going to just buy a product with a superhero on it. And I think that's what a lot of developers think, you know, and I think that's where, you know, some of
these producers,
producers.
Now let's take this, like, go a level up. Is this more of like DC going like, you know what? Make a good fucking Batman game and quit trying to, cause like they've just recognized like, you know what, here's the lot, you know, I don't know how that process works. Like,
it almost seems to be some similarity between that and the way they approach the movies. It's like, make a good Batman movie as well. Like,
right. But see, now Marvel though has been making,
they've changed.
Yeah.
They've changed the game since they became their own studio.
They've had a lot of successes with their comics and, you know, not everything's been great, but they've both sides have done well with certain things. And Marvel's like, they did great with the Ultimate kind of stuff. And then like the movies hit and those are the Marvel controlled ones, you know, like the shitty movies are all like Sony and Fox. Like, Marvel stuff has been the stuff you love. And that's culminated in the Avengers. So for them to have like shitty tie-in game after shitty tie-in game says that whoever's in charge of that, and I don't think it's Kevin Feige or whatever, I'm guessing. So like, that's, I don't know who this dude is who's making this call, who has the power. There's like a guy who has the power who could say no more. Like, draw the line here. Like, but let's make a good fucking game. Like, Wolverine was probably the only decent Marvel movie tie-in game that has happened. What? In forever. Ever.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Besides this original. Besides Spider-Man 2. Since Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
On the Xbox One.
Yeah. And
And I will give, I want to slide in Captain America from my perspective because it wasn't great, but it was getting to where
the guys stole the Batman combat, which was fun.
Well, it made sense.
But the game itself, it was like everything else.
It was the production value. You saw that, and what I saw with that game, and this is what I feel about a lot of things, is you see
they still feel like they shoehorned it, man.
Well,
yeah, the thing you were talking about earlier, Ethan, of like that's they were doing that thing.
Like, here's a line, and here's where they were coming, and then suddenly it feels like at some point, like that's how it felt. Not a miserable game. Not like a Thor.
Like the guys working on it tried and they knew what they wanted to do, but they didn't have the time.
I almost had this feeling that these big guys are like, oh, superheroes are going to suddenly become unpopular. We need to pump these games out now while it's still doing well.
I'm sure all these developers aren't getting the support that Rocksteady had.
And even those guys that worked on Captain America, they still were just constrained by this movie.
You've got tie-in
story
to make this,
and visual style.
Which is the problem.
Yeah. All that shit. It was like, here's the guy, here, you got to work within this box. Tell anybody they got to work inside a box that's creative, and they're either gonna like really excel, or in the case of most large teams of game developers, they're gonna make some cookie cutter shit that you don't want to play. And they gave them some leg room with that because that wasn't
a direct tie-in, you know. But you can tell right where they have some leg room, but again, you're restricted resources. You've got a year to do this. I mean, just take your time. These games will sell well. I mean, people will like them. Your comic book fans are gonna buy these games if they're good games.
There are examples like we said the Spider-Man 2 thing. That was a game that was really good at feeling like Spider-Man.
It was also around the time that open world games were just like really taking off. Right. So just that feeling, and it was the first superhero game that embraced it, and it made sense for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yes. Just like the Rocksteady stuff made sense for Batman. Mm-hmm. Ultimate Destruction, the Hulk game.
You've talked about that, yeah.
That was radical, right? That was the guys went on then to do Prototype.
Yep.
That was a, like, you felt like the Hulk.
Like, it's a damn good feeling.
If you haven't played this game, but you played one of the prototypes, imagine the dude in the Prototype being, Alex Mercer being like just a gigantic green guy.
Yeah.
You got the same, you run real fast, you jump really high, and you drop giant elbows on shit, except it's like you smash 10 times more stuff. Well, and you're really angry the whole time.
And you're the Hulk, which is, I think,
like
is better.
The gameplay wise, they've still been making that same kind of
Blast
game.
Blast Corps, the superhero.
It's not the same to me, because I want to be, pretty much. You just smash everything. You can just, you break buildings.
Because Alex Mercer wasn't mad, he was just brooding.
He was a little bit too emo for me. Yeah, I don't like that kind of superhero or Hulk. Anti-hero. No, I don't. Hulk. That's not my
Hulk
thing.
Hulk would kick his ass.
Oh yeah, yeah. Hulk kicks everyone's ass though.
There's no one's
like,
ass.
Like that was fun. Kick. You felt like the Hulk. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna pick up a tank and I'm gonna throw it against that building and I want it to just smash apart. You do it.
Yep.
You just crush everything, and that's what the Hulk should do.
God,
I
want to
be an asshole as the Hulk, or I want to, I want to not smash everything and try. And you know what? You still smash some stuff because you're the Hulk.
Well, you can't.
But
help
you,
it.
You can, like, you know, but you can play however you want. Again, though, that was in the open world phase of those. Those, you know, a lot of games at the time were.
Are there any other kind of recent winners in the last one or two generations? So, what was kind of jumping out to me? Was the best superhero game up until Arkham for me was Infamous. Like, as far as, I really didn't know what to expect from Infamous. Came out the same time as Prototype, and I was trying to decide between the two. But there was the interesting thing was they created this unique character, in unique story, and never really forced the superhero-ness down my throat till about a third of the way of the game. I was like, man, I feel like a superhero. Mm-hmm. Like, and it encapsulated that feeling, and I hadn't had that in a game in a long time, just because there were so many little details about this open world traversal that they'd made effortless. Yeah. And that was when I just started to really feel super powerful, and it became fun for that reason.
Yeah. I actually, going back a little bit further, I remember, and again, another non, Marvel or DC superhero was actually PsyOps, the Mindgate Conspiracy, because that game was, again, more linear. And it was that Xbox kind of progression, like, you're going to level to level. They weren't quite into the open world.
Were you like Professor X or what?
Well, you were a guy with psychic powers, and your psychic power got more powerful as you went. But I remember playing that game and being like, oh, this looks kind of cool. But then I was controlling stuff and flinging guys with my, my telekinesis, and it was cool. You felt powerful. I mean, you felt powerful. By the end of the game, you were going toe-to-toe with these other psychics that were, part of this
big organization. And I remember thinking, it's not a perfect game. I loved it. Not a perfect game, but I want a game like this. This is what a superhero should feel like. That was the first time I felt like a superhero. I wasn't constrained. I was constrained by my character, who was a human with psychic powers, but I wasn't constrained by what my powers could do. You know, I could pick people up on boxes. I remember picking a box up as I was standing on it and floating across, you know, like a gap in the floor. I mean, that kind of stuff. I was like, this is kind of cool. And I was flinging guys and blood was, oh, it was cool. That was a great, damn it, that was a great game.
Since I was a kid, and all the way through till today, if you ask me the one power that I would want to have, if I could choose one, it would be flight. I would want to fly.
Really?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's like Superman, you know?
Yeah.
And like, so the Superman Returns tie-in game, this came out at the, like around launch of the 360. This has been like 6 years.
Yeah.
That game was not good. however, the flight in that game felt awesome.
I feel like a plane.
Like you would like hold down a button and you'd go into like, you know, super fast flight mode where you're like, you know, steering, dude. It, like Superman 64, but with way better controls.
What they were going for.
You were flying around Metropolis and you can fly way up in the sky and you can fly way away from the city and you can come back down and you'd be flying along and you would get faster as you'd hold it down. So they were like, it would shift kind of into three different speeds. You'd break the sound barrier. Yeah, and then you'd get going. Yeah.
Sonic boom.
Yeah. Oh, yes, there would be sonic boom. And it felt good. And I would just go way up in the air, and I'd come flying way down. I would just swoop, and I would vroom, and I'd skim the cars and shit on the streets.
Now I want a Superman in Saints Row. When you
so,
that.
Yeah. Oh, God. If they would just make me Superman. So that, to me, like that would be the... Like, I really, really love Superman. I've talked about this probably.
You
on the
love
show.
A lot of superheroes. You can't.
Superman's his
you're
boy,
not
though.
Much of a commitment.
Superman's
a guy, not Green Lantern.
Superman.
Pick one. It's Superman.
Okay.
It's the idea of Superman. It's Superman's, like, it's him as a person. Like, I don't want to get into this because So, all the powers in the world, and he's miserable all the time. He can see and hear everything that goes on, pretty much, but he can't stop all of it. Like, he can't fix everything. He has to pick and choose who he saves, basically. Mm-hmm. He can't get them all, but he knows that, that he chose this one and that one died or whatever. Like, the absolute worst thing. So anyways, so there hasn't been a super good Superman game, but another, like, City of Heroes and Champions Online, both by Cryptic Studios, have those MMOs. Well, actually, DC Universe Online has that as well. Like, you can make good heroes with, like, flight and super strength and stuff like that. And you actually feel like a superhero in those games. Now, you're making your own dude. But, you know, that still counts. You're still making superheroes. And the combat in Champions Online is better than City of Heroes. And the combat in DC Universe is probably better than those two. But City of Heroes was like the first one to do it and like making your guy and then getting the flight power and then flying around the city, like in an MMO it's pretty standard MMO. And then, but all of a sudden you're just like whooshing around. Like, that was pretty cool. Yeah. Like, that was a cool moment in gaming for me. Like, as far as superhero games goes. So, like, yeah, I'm a big fan of the flying around stuff. And there's only a couple games I think that have done that well.
You like Hawks?
There hasn't been a game where you were playing as a hawk, I don't think. I've never played a game as a hawk. Like, if I could be just like a bald eagle.
Oh, I'd like that better. More patriotic.
Tom Clancy's bald eagles.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Hawks.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Why not?
That's what I was talking about. The Superman kind of lends itself to the big problem of where do superhero games go from here? And I was actually experiencing this, the superhero problem, the Superman problem with The Darkness 2, which I've been playing recently. Because I stated on a previous podcast that I really wasn't enjoying myself The Darkness 2, just because you're a badass demon in that game, and you have a lot of fucking abilities and almost too much. It's almost overwhelming, and you can destroy pretty much anything. But there is a side mission mode to that game where you're playing as characters that only have one or two of those darkness abilities. And those missions were so much more fun. And, you know, every superhero game starts off with some sort of, like, limitations to why you can't use all of your powers. And the comic book fans in us don't like that. Don't restrict my superhero. But like, how do you like?
But also, you don't just want just like crazy powerful enemies to match your powers.
Yeah,
because that's not realistic either. So
that's always like the design problem that they have. Mm-hmm. But how can we make this better? It's Josh has a hand.
Yeah. Okay. So and I just go to the Superman thing because it's like there's the ultimate powerful dude. Like the hardest game to make would be the Superman game. So
can we make a Superman?
It's not. Don't make it so. You just be invincible. You don't die. Fine. Just throw that out right out of the gates. You're just like, you know what? You're invincible. You're super fucking tough. You can't be beat up.
And how much does that really change games these days?
Right. Yeah. It's not like that's not like a big stretch, you know? So, okay. So you know what? You don't die. Okay. Just dump that and then say like, okay. So what are your challenges when you're pretty much like the perfect being or whatever? It's like it's time. It's bad decisions. Those are your enemies. It's like you can't be everywhere at once. So like it's like a moral dilemma for you. So as Superman, so you're a Metropolis, and there's a fire over here. There's a giant monster over there. Lex Luthor's trying to turn a bunch of people into gorillas or something over here. Whatever. And then like there's all this and there's aliens invading on the other side. You can go to one of them at once. In the meantime, everyone else is dying. Like, make it matter. Like, you know what? You fit, beat up all the bad guys, stop all the disasters, all that stuff. But in the meantime, let me know every person, all those people that are dying. Like, you know what? You, oh, nice job putting out that fire. Oh shit. Like 100 people just died over there. 100 more are going to die if you don't go there now. Oh, but oh shit, all these people over here, they're getting turned into gorillas by Lex Luthor. I don't know why he's be like, Gorilla Grodd would maybe do that.
Yeah.
and then like, all these aliens, they're just blowing up apartment buildings right now with their laser beams. It's like, where do you go? What do you do? It's like, make it like frantic. Make me use all those powers to try to save everyone. But knowing that I can't.
All the game is the percentage that you...
Yeah, give me the number. Like,
how super
1,020,
were you?
1,000 people died. These are the people you didn't save. It's not how many you saved. It's how many you didn't.
And these are the people that are angry at you.
Yeah. They write you bad letters. Is that like...
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's like your hit Superman points. Superman didn't come. Like, where's Superman? Just think about the little kid who's like, oh, God, there's a big alien. What do I do? Superman will save me. No, Superman's putting out a fire.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Kid died.
It's really dry outside, though, except why he would do that. That fire's going to spread.
That's, yeah.
To me, that sounds like a big time trial. And I'm not saying that doesn't work, but that fits right into Superman. But in my opinion, you just need to come to the conclusion that there's certain superheroes that aren't going to make games. You just can't do it.
But they're going to make them anyways.
I know they're going to.
Yeah.
And if they're going to, they're going to do that. But if I'm in charge of making a game and you said, pick whatever superhero you want, and I may have my favorites, but I'm going to go for the one, like a Batman, who's going to make a good game. Yeah. I'm not going to try to pigeonhole a superhero into a game just because we need to do that.
That's what I question with kind of Arkham setting the standard. Is it successful because it's a great Batman game or because Batman's a great video game character too? And which of these superheroes really lend themselves well? Or, kind of what we said earlier, design around the superhero, which is what you're trying to do with Superman.
Yeah.
And, but how lengthy of an adventure is that? And it's different for every character. And I've heard the most recent one announced was the Deadpool game. And, High Moon's doing that. They did the Transformers games and they're going to make a third person game. And he's a mercenary. There were conventions they could easily slap him into that I worry that I was like, take a step back, find a way that his personality, somehow drives this game, and design around him. And I hope they can do that because I want to see other successes other than I'm afraid that I'm going to get tired of the Arkham formula because people keep ripping it off because, the new Spider-Man movie, tie-in game. I got there eventually. Its fighting system was, I guess, an even looser interpretation of the Arkham fighting system. And with Deadpool, I think with that is a character that
is more video game-ish because he's got, I mean, he's got regenerating health. I mean, that's one of the powers. He's got guns. He's got swords. You make an action game. Maybe you make it, you know, maybe you go in a direction of, and again, I don't want to pigeonhole him into anything, but if he feels like anything to me, he feels like maybe Devils May Cry. Something along those lines of you've got the acrobatics, you got your swords, you're balancing that kind of stuff up. You know, also use his humor, but that is not what's going to drive the game. You have to have a solid fighting system. You have to be an engaging, you know, storyline.
The action has to be engaging.
I haven't played Fall of Cybertron yet, but War for Cybertron was fun as shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a third-person shooter, but it was like super Transformers-y. Like, I love that game. Yeah. That was a huge, huge sleeper hit.
I'm glad they're getting
a couple years ago.
Well, and yeah. And
that, loved it. So I actually kind of have some faith that they're going to make a fun game.
Yeah.
But Deadpool, man, he's in the same boat as Spawn. That's another product of like that, like just overblown bullshit 90s comic hero. It's like, let's just let Rob Liefeld draw him with a whole bunch of extra muscles and, you know, like belts and bullets, bandoliers and bandages and eye patches. Cause
he has like a little he has a little bit of Wolverine in him.
You know that. The best Deadpool comic was probably Agent X when he just had, like, he got completely blown up and a little tiny piece of him regenerated. And he was like, he just had, it was not Deadpool. That's what, it was better. Cool. It was like, it was basically someone completely different personality wise. I don't like Deadpool that much.
I think it might
be a fun game because I think High Moon makes fun games.
I don't think it's going to be any worse than an okay game. I don't think that he's got, you know what I mean?
It's not a movie tie-in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're just making, like, a game with about a superhero.
Because they
so far, there's no
Deadpool
movie.
Deadpool in the movies.
They're working on that.
Well, like supposedly. Well, supposedly, right. But that's been on hold for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds went and did Green Lantern.
So, I mean, can we agree that they kind of need to accept, I mean, that some superheroes just won't lend themselves to making a video game and they draw those lines?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can have your Superman minigame collection, your time trial, save the city mode.
But that game, if they just stick to that formula, there are people that are going to love that game.
Yeah.
Not just because it's Superman, but because of the formula, the mechanics that are coming into it. But knowing them, they're going to try to add, you know,
let me get back to one more thing. I mentioned an Infamous that I felt like a superhero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Batman, you fucking feel like Batman.
Yeah.
Right.
My other moment I always compare this to, and I'm not saying this is a superhero, but playing Jedi Outcast, when you first get your Jedi powers, feeling like a Jedi for the first time.
Jedi or superheroes? I'll give you that one.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but just like feeling like the character. That's what we're seeking.
Yeah, yeah.
If no matter the scale of game, if you can feel like Superman, that's going to make a lot of Superman fans happy.
I want to fly really fast. I want to be able to pick up anything. I don't want to be hurt by shit. So, but make, you know, that's the thing, you know, when you're playing as that dude. You know what make a really good superhero video game character? Luke Cage. He's like Superman tough, like as far as, like his invulnerability, and he's pretty strong, but he can't fly, he's not real fast, and he's just like a street tough dude.
Yeah.
Like you could just beat up dudes and like not, well, again though, as soon as you introduce invulnerability, I guess, is when you get in trouble.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the thing.
It's the invulnerability that
you
can't get
damn
past.
Damn it. Because now I'm thinking, well, you're just going to beat up everyone, though.
It's like
Cage.
Any power that you have to level the playing field on the other side unrealistically.
He's just more limited at saving dudes than Superman. But it's the same dilemma of like, he just can't help anyone.
Yeah.
He helps like one-tenth of the amount of people because
he
can't
fly. I helped this old lady cross the road and, well, all these people are dead now.
Yeah, right. You can help one.
I do like Luke Cage, though. I do like
Luke Cage. So did we solve anything?
Well, yeah. No, there's one. You said it earlier, Justin. You said you need to look at the character and then make a game around him. And that happens so rarely it seems like. Like, just stop. But as soon as you tie it to a movie, I think you also get limited there because the majority of that is time constraint. Sure, you know, of course, and budget and stuff. But I don't know, man. There are some good games coming, though, maybe.
I hope so.
Like, we got Rocksteady.
Yeah, they're doing another Batman game. It might go Silver Age.
Yeah, they said it, right?
Yep.
I think this is I'm just guessing. Mm. I think this game, why would they do this? Why would they go into Silver Age? That's like, because they've done such dark games.
Yeah.
Silver Age is a little bit lighter and more fanciful, and a lot of the villains got their start, and they're going to be like super cliched. But you go Silver Age.
Yeah.
You throw Robin in. You can have co-op. Throw the Batmobile in. More open world than before. They could maybe even throw in some super friends. Maybe this isn't a Batman game at all. Maybe it's a two-player Wonder Twins game, and Batman is just there. And it actually, it's got everyone. The whole Justice League is there, but you're the freaking Wonder Twins. They said, yeah, it's a Batman game, like asterisk, and it's Silver Age. That's pretty much was. It felt very Silver Age, that cartoon.
So the Wonder Twins was one person could turn into a living object and one into an inanimate object?
Yeah.
So it wasn't always one turning into like something cool and the other one
turning
into like
a puddle. It'd be like, no, like literally they would turn into like a bucket of like water.
But they would do something with it. It makes it. I play the game.
That's an interesting
game. Like, I'll turn into a fish and you turn into a bucket of water so I can breathe.
Yeah. We work together well. Oh, Wonder Twin. Yeah.
I think
some zany antics.
Yeah. I think they're going to do something. Whatever it is, I think they're going to do something really interesting with this Silver Age stuff.
I think the Wonder Twins.
Sounds cool.
Wonder Twins just need a Minecraft mod, it sounds like.
Also, the guys that made the Marvel Superhero Squad game, which I didn't play because it's like a kid's game. But they are making Marvel Heroes, which by all accounts so far is like Diablo. It's like action RPG.
Yeah.
Like point and click kind of beat 'em up style. It's going to be free to play. You're going to play, you're not going to make your own dude. You're going to play as the heroes, but they're going to have a ton of heroes, a ton of costumes for each hero, that kind of thing. So you don't just run around with another dudes looking just like you and stuff. But, yeah. Sounds kind of fun. I haven't seen it in person, but other people have done some write ups and have seen it and played a little bit of it. And sounds actually pretty fun. So that might be something.
Yeah.
Cool. Little PC exclusive thing.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see where these go in the next couple of years. I just feel like we kind of peaked after a long valley, I guess. So it'll be interesting where the next gen of superhero games go. That's going to do it for our discussion tonight. But before we get out of here, some horriblenight.com updates. As I talked about earlier, our Gaming Our Asses Off competition is still going on the site. And this is a charity competition. Just we're promoting the balance between your regular life and your gaming life, and all proceeds of this of donations supporting either myself or Justin Gifford will be going directly to Child's Play. So we'd appreciate any support that you can give, even just helping us spread the word here. And then we just announced last week our Horrible Night Out on August 4th at 8 p.m. at Netheads here in Indianapolis. The theme is Hard and High, so difficult games that allow for high scores. We will be announcing the games.
That's what that means.
Mm. Yeah, for all those curious.
Well, you said that like, and you looked at me, and you kind of moved your head a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
a little head check. Yeah, look good.
Curious. Mm. Mm.
So we'll be announcing the games here in the coming weeks. But Tetris is the featured game. So for those that have checked out Ecstasy of Order, they might get to finally scratch that Tetris competition.
And you're going to have a few little pointers and tips and tricks that you can use to win.
Yeah. T-spins, baby.
Whoa.
Rotation.
What's a T-spin?
That's going to do it for the Horrible Show. Josh, Ethan, thanks for joining me.
Yeah. My pleasure.
It's been great.
We'll be back again here in a couple weeks. We'll see you.